How you doing, Jim Davis? Along with my old buddy, Curtis Beadleman, Davis and Beadle, back together again. Beadle, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing fine. Doing fine. We thought, why not? Once a week, if we can do this, it might not always be once a week. We've got busy lives. You got all the boys to take care of and transport here, there, and everywhere to baseball and school and everything. But we thought we'd try to get together once a week and talk a little sports. Sounds like a good plan, right?
Glory dazing.
Yeah.
Did we call this glory dazing?
Probably so. Glory days, you know, used to throw that speedball by you, make you look like a fool. I never did that. You did that a couple of times, right? But then there were some times you missed and, you left it a little fat over the
plate. I rarely missed the barrel when I had the chance. Let's put it that way.
All right, let's talk about the Rockies. We're into the off season now, and I guess my first question for you, what direction do they need to go here? Is it time for Jeff Breidich to move on? Because it doesn't seem like Jeff Breidich spends the Rockies' money, the Monfort's money, very well. I mean, because the Rockies have a payroll of, $158 million, and you got Tampa Bay that's doing really well in the postseason at $28 million. So you're kind of thinking to yourself, it's not that the Rockies don't spend money. Jeff Breidich just doesn't spend it very well.
Yeah, do you think that the public opinion is getting in the way of Jeff Breidich, or is it just the actual moves that are being made? You know, everybody's looking for somebody to get rid of or to change, right?
But right,
I don't know if it's the scouting department. Are they not doing their job? Because they've made moves, right? I mean, I guess the biggest problem with Jeff Breidich right now would be the optics of the DJ LeMahieu debacle, because, you know, they were waiting for a new face, Rodgers or McMahon or somebody like that, to kind of come in and be the next good bat, and they were willing to walk away from a guy like DJ LeMahieu and not spend money on him, and it's just blown up in their face, right? DJ's been fantastic in New York. You know, those guys that I've mentioned just didn't grow into those bats that you were hoping that they would. And now that just is added to the fact that all the moves that they made with the bullpen, the Wade Davises, the Shaws, those guys, when they really were trying to make some moves to make this team better, they just haven't worked out. So is that Jeff Breidich, or is that a scouting department and a development department that isn't quite producing what they should be from the standpoint of drafting the right guys and picking the right moments to bring those guys up?
I agree with you to a point. I think the DJ LeMahieu thing, we've talked about it on the show over here on the team, that DJ, I think, really was committed to leaving. Because if you look back at the offer the Rockies presented to him, Beadle, it was pretty comparable to what the Yankees gave him. I think that he saw the writing on the wall before Nolan Arenado has seen it, that the Rockies were not going to make the proper investments in terms of improving the bullpen, the back half of the rotation, some of those things. I think he was just like, you know what? I'll take equal money, but I'm going to go someplace else because I like my chances going to New York. And obviously he is delivering a huge way. I take it as not so much, I'm not trying to defend it because I'm not a Jeff Breidich defender. I think the Rockies offered him a fair salary. I think he was just like, you know what? I'm ready to go someplace else. I don't see it getting better here.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I think when the move was made, there wasn't a lot of complaining out of the Rockies faithful. They kind of saw it the same way. All I think now is that the optics have become too much for people from the standpoint of, yep, he's there producing again for the Yankees, and the Rockies still don't have the answer between three prospects of Rodgers and Hampson and McMahon. They still don't have an answer there at that other middle infield spot. They still don't have an answer at first base. That project has not come to fruition either. So, you know, and I think that the blow up with obviously Nolan Arenado last year, it just doesn't bode well for Jeff Breidich. And I think that's the nature of the game, right? If you pull the right levers and everything works out and the prospects produce for you, then you look like a genius. You can do everything right, which I think he, for the most part, has, and it could still blow up on you from the respect of a guy like Nolan Arenado having an issue in public with the way things have gone down. And those are guys that everybody wants to keep. Arenado's story and Charlie Blackman, those three obviously are the big three that everybody loves and wants to keep. And it seems like that relationship's fractured. So whether it is or isn't, or whether it's the right move or not the right move, somebody's got to go, right? And it might be all of the above. It might be guys like Breidich being moved on from, and Arenado, and some of those stars that you hope will stay. But it might be the time that you take what you can get for a lot of those and get some draft capital and rebuild and start again. I don't know. People probably don't want to hear that, but this is, it's not working for the Rockies from the having those stars be productive on offense and nothing else. That's all they've got. And that left side of your infield is as good as any in baseball, and it doesn't mean wins. And that's the biggest thing is, if it doesn't mean wins for your club, then you got to do something different.
All right, Stavison Beadle, glad to have you along with us today. I want to ask you about the Nolan Arenado situation, because when they had the press conference at the end of last season, and it was Bud Black, and it was Jeff Breidich, and it was Dick Monfort, they said they were not going to add any additional free agents, and they really didn't, with the exception of the trade deadline, getting Kevin Pillar and also getting Michael Gibbons. Yeah. If you're Breidich, or let's go one better, you're Curtis Biedelman, and you're the general manager of the Colorado Rockies, what do you do with Nolan Arenado right now?
Well, something went seriously wrong if I'm the general manager of the Colorado Rockies.
But, you know what? Why not you? You know, why not you?
Stranger things have happened.
Sure.
I guess. So I think the key for the Rockies and looking at the way baseball is going right now, the way that young players are coming through many, many systems right now and producing, they've got to do a better job in the draft. I really think that's the biggest thing. So to say we're not going to go out and add a bunch of free agents, I think it's a smart move, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. But on the backside of that, you've got to have a plan draft-wise for the rest of, the rest of these guys' careers. You have two or three players that have about a five-year window here, right, give or take, that they're some of the best in the game. It's no doubt. And I think the nice part for the Rockies is they have a decent group of starting pitchers. They proved that out this year. They were in games through the seventh inning, and then things got ugly after that. So really it's the bullpen, which it's always been the bullpen, right? That's the big thing for the Rockies. They've never been able to figure out the bullpen situation except for one or two seasons where they've gotten production out of guys like Ottavino or a few closer types like Houston Street long ago. But that's really been the case for them, is we've got to figure out this bullpen. And when you look at a team like the Dodgers or like even the Yankees and some of those teams, those bullpens, they're outstanding. They have guys coming out of their left and right that you haven't heard of, that are young, that are still developing, but quite frankly, just so much better than the guys that the Rockies have had coming out of the bullpen for them in the last couple of years. So if Kyle Freeland can get you to the sixth inning, and if Ramon Marquez and Antonio Sensatella can get you to the sixth inning, you got to figure out a way to get that thing home. And your offense will show up for you when they feel like they're going to be in the game. But I think that the biggest thing for the Rockies is to start looking into their farm system and seeing if they can rebuild that, because they're just not getting anything out of their young arms. Their positional guys have been fine. McMahon and Rogers and those guys, they haven't produced a ton, but they haven't been void of production either. Tapia is another one that you can think of that have come up and given them some offensive firepower. Sam Hilliard's another one. So those are guys that are producing, but tell me the arms that have come up and given them anything out of the bullpen. It's just they don't exist. They're not there. Guys have been given chance after chance, and they just can't produce. So you got to do something different, whether it's a change in the way they're training these bullpen guys, or whether it's just different scouting measures that they need to use. Something has to change there.
I mean, their best bullpen guy was Daniel Bard, a guy that had been out of baseball for several years until he was working with Arizona the mental standpoint of pitchers, and got back on the bump and realized he still had the stuff. I mean, Scott Oberg, I'm not very confident that we're going to see Scott Oberg back with this baseball team with the blood clot issues with the arm and everything. I think that's something that you have to be really concerned about. I do want to get back, though, to the question I was asking about Arenado, though. If you're the GM, do you trade him now, or do you wait until the All-Star break of 2021?
Yeah, good question. I think the hard part is to decide when he's worth the most, right? When are teams going to try to leverage you the most, or are you going to try to leverage them the most? I think the answer for positional guys is typically over the winter. That's when you'll get the most for a guy like Nolan Arenado. When it gets to trade deadline time, it seems like, especially positional guys, they're usually being traded because they want out, or their team wants them out, and therefore you've lost some of your bargaining power, or the season has not gone well. If that makes sense too, that maybe you love the guy, maybe he wants to stay, but things are going so poorly that you just got to do something different. And so, to me, you have more power with a guy like Arenado over the wintertime, and that's when you need to try and identify which teams are interested, which teams are going to be serious about the types of deals that they're going to make for you, and which teams are just going to try and fleece you too. So that's something that I think is the big question for Bidich is, you know, can you handle the wave of discontent that will come with trading a guy like Nolan Arenado? You're going to have to make some sort of move, either lock him up and say, we're going to do whatever we can to keep you here and bring in whoever we can and spend the money, or go the opposite direction and say, you know what, we just got to break it all down and start over. And you're just going to have to wear the comments that come your way, because people are going to be upset if that's the case. But that could be the answer. And if it were me, I would probably have a tendency to try and trade him during the off season. That's the most opportune time to do it. And you're going to get the most for him, and you got to do a nice job of getting good young talent that you can bring in and rebuild this roster, so to speak. Look at the Marlins. They're the perfect example.
Yeah.
They just cleaned house. It stunk. People hated Derek Jeter. They hated what was going on. They were the biggest laughing stock of the National League there for a couple of years. And give them credit. They found some people to be productive, and they're in the playoff hunt right now, and they seem like a team really motivated in the playoffs. They have a chip on their shoulder because they were made fun of. They were a bunch of no names, all those good things, whatever you want to call them. What did the Phillies broadcaster call them? The bottom feeders, something like that. And they're playing with a little bit different attitude. And I think, you know, the Rockies can take a lesson from that, and especially at the administrative level, you got to swallow your pride sometimes. And, you know, if you got to let some stars go, it's going to hurt, but it might be better in the long run.
Well, and you look at it in 2022, I mean, Arenado can opt out after this coming season.
Yep.
Do you not want to get something for him? Because here's the only thing, we've talked about this in the show a lot, that with the financial situation being what it is right now in baseball, with no fans, teams are, certainly the TV contract extension with TBS has helped, but it's not like it is at the NFL. The gate revenue's not there. That's going to have, and we don't know what 2021 is going to look like with coronavirus. We're hoping that things are back to normal when baseball rolls around in the spring of 2021. But teams could be very reluctant to, you know, down the road, pick up Arenado's salary. That's a possibility. Or if he decides to opt out and go play someplace else in 2022, that could still be kind of a lingering problem for baseball teams where they might say, you know what, we think you're a hell of a player, but we're not going to pay you Bryce Harper-like money. We're just not going to do that.
Right.
And so he could be in a spot where, and I don't think it's a likely scenario, but it could happen where he has to say, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. What I'm getting from the Rockies financially is better than what I'm going to get from anybody else. Now this will test the narrative about him, Beadle, about he wants to win. So if he wants to win,
yeah,
it might be going someplace else where they're going to pay him less, and is he going to be okay with that?
That's the thing. I guess you can look at it on the other side. We use the Marlins as the example. Maybe the better example is somebody like the Angels. They have the best player in the world, right?
I mean,
that's pretty much universally known that Mike Trout is the best player in baseball. And they've had a couple other pieces with them. They've spent money on guys like Ohtani, and they've spent money here and there, but they haven't developed an entire roster. And the Angels can't win. And the good example would be, the Nationals from last year. They decided to move on from Bryce Harper. And they became a better all-around team, and they won a World Series. To me, that's the cue that the Rockies need to start taking. I love Nolan Arenado. This guy's amazing. He's one of my favorite players in all of baseball. I hope he's a Rocky for the rest of his life. However, he may be the reason that they can't get off the schneid. They just can't seem to take their eyes off of him long enough to notice that the rest of the roster needs a lot of updates. And like I said, I don't want to go into Moneyball or analytics completely, but there's a lot of teams out there having plenty of success without the star player. The Dodgers and the Yankees, yes, they'll spend money, they'll get the star players, they'll do what they do. But when you look at the Padres and what they've done this year, when you look at the Oakland A's again, what they've done this year, when you look at the Marlins, when you look at some of these teams in the playoffs and what they've done to build their rosters, it has nothing to do with finding a star player to put in the middle of their order. And it has everything to do with finding quality top to bottom and really just building a team that fits the ballpark, fits the schedule, and fits the managerial styles. And that's the difference to me. Milwaukee didn't go out and pack a bunch of stars around Christian Yelich. They went out and found more bullpen guys, and they made the playoffs again. And I think those are the keys that the Rockies need to start looking at. And to me, that's why you decide to move on from guys like that.
Well, and I referenced the Tampa Bay Rays, who I think it's a team built to win a World Series. And name five stars on that team. There aren't Blake Snell, Kevin Kiermaier. I mean, Chris Archer was probably one of their better known players, and they traded him to Pittsburgh. I mean, that's a team that is constantly in the playoff chase in probably the toughest division in baseball in the American League East with the Red Sox and the Yankees. And here they are again, Beadle, in the postseason with a $28 million payroll. Nobody watches them at Tropicana. It's a terrible place. But year in and year out, going all the way back to when Joe Maddon was there, they build teams. They're willing to part with veterans when they feel like, it's a little bit of the Patriot way of when they feel like they're not willing to overreach in terms of keeping a veteran. They develop young talent, and they're always competitive. I mean, people forget that about Tampa Bay. They're always competitive.
Yep, and they've been through a large number of players and just have been able to walk from them. And so I think the hardest part is you have a passionate fan base. You don't have a passionate fan base in Tampa Bay. You don't have a passionate fan base in Oakland. It's almost better than it used to be, but it's not the same. But you do have a passionate fan base in Colorado, and they make it hard to walk from guys like Arenado. But and it's not that Arenado's a bad guy. He's not Bryce Harper. I shouldn't say Bryce Harper was a bad guy, but he wasn't loved. Let's put it that way. He wasn't loved in the clubhouse. He wasn't adored by everybody. He was popular, but he wasn't he was not the level of Arenado with right. the fan base. They were disappointed, but he moved on. And so I think he just got to bite that bullet. He got to make that move. And if he's not willing to make that move, then I think if you're the Montfort, you got to make the move and get rid of Jeff Breidich and find somebody that will make that move. So. Yep.
Davis and Beadle, I just look at Breidich with, the money he spent, the $75 million on Ian Desmond, the money spent on Daniel yep. Murphy. Stop spending money, poorly investing your money on players that number one, don't play first base, that you're constantly converting yep. guys. Give Nolan's cousin, Josh Fuentes, the shot at first base, and maybe it's McMahon over at third base if you move on from Nolan. I certainly think there are options there. I do want to ask you, though, before we wrap it up today, about the DH. We have the DH this year in both leagues. A lot of people think it's sacrilege. I think it's been something a long time coming because of interleague play and how prevalent it is. I mean, it used to be, a small window, a couple of weeks, we'd have an interleague play, and now it starts from day one of the Major League Baseball season. That was just kind of inevitable and makes sense for it to be a part of baseball going forward. I guess just your takeaway on the DH, because I think what you're seeing right now, you're going to see in 2021.
Yeah, it's going to happen, right? I don't care how many purists there are, and I'm one of those. I enjoy the fact that you have two different styles of play in each league. It's what makes them unique. But it's coming. There's no stopping it anymore. This was the final nail, so to speak, in that coffin, if you ask me. And the biggest thing is, I enjoy it from a fan standpoint. I like the uniqueness. I like the differences in managerial styles that have to be taken into account when it comes to the two separate leagues. But here's the truth. There isn't a manager out there that really wants to see his ace pitcher go stand up at the plate mm-hmm. and take that risk. and there's not a general manager out there paying those bills. Well, they're not paying the bills, the owners are, but there's not a general manager or an owner out there that wants to see that guy go and take that risk. And as fun as it is to see a guy like Madison Bumgarner or Clayton Kershaw hit a bomb, they don't want to see that. They don't need to see it. The people that say, oh, it just makes the game stupid. Well, I don't agree with that at all, but I do agree with the fact that, these guys, they are not training to be hitters. They just aren't anymore. The game has changed on a level that pitchers, they don't come up through the system hitting anymore. Nobody really bunts anymore, although there was probably more bunting in short game this year because of the 60-game schedule, but that's just not the way things are going anymore. What are they doing up there? That's the question. So then it just becomes a managerial issue. Like how quickly can I move on from a starter in a game so I can get pinch hitters in, or vice versa? How long do I gamble with a starter and leave pinch hitters on the bench and stuff like that? And that's why I say, the game's changing when it comes to the bullpen and the guys that are coming out of the bullpen now. So it's moved on. I think that's the big thing. So even if a guy like me says, I like it, I wish it would stay, doesn't matter. It's moved on. That's a pipe dream. So you got to get used to it from that standpoint. But I think on many accounts, it's a good thing, right? You want hitters being involved in the game, not pitchers trying to play offense when it really comes down to it. So when I'm watching the Dodgers and the Padres tomorrow night, I don't need to see Clayton Kershaw try and win the game. I want to see, somebody else, Kike Hernandez, in that position rather than a pitcher. But it is fun from the standpoint of the different styles. But I think it's just gone. It's not really an argument anymore. They've won it. They've pushed through it, and it is not going to see it. And I don't think there is really going to be an argument left to be had.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, high school, college, minor league baseball has DHs. American yep. League has had it since yep. 73, so it's just kind of inevitable it's going to happen. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up here with something non-sports related. During Uh-oh. This whole pandemic thing, what have you been binge-watching?
Oh, boy. Well, lately, It's been Cobra Kai.
Okay. I've not watched it yet. I probably will at some point.
It's made for my guy my age, period. They thought, okay, who's this show for? And they went for a 40-year-old that grew up on, you know, the old Mr. Miyagi wax on, wax off, nostalgic kind of trip. But on the flip side of that, it's fantastic. It's really great. It has all the nostalgia you would want, but it's really well done from a story standpoint. The drama, the teen drama is there, which I don't really care if that's there, but it does bring others in to it. And there's
you've always loved teen drama. Going back to Saved by the Bell, come on, yeah. Teen drama is your thing. Embrace it. It's okay, man. You can embrace that
that's
now.
True. Yeah. And there's a level of comedy with it too. So that's the fun part is that, turns out both of these guys kind of grew up to be losers in their own way. And
poor Ralph Macchio.
And they're funny losers. From the standpoint of, I think they're still, they still show that they have some humanity and they're good people, but they're losers in different directions, in different ways. And it makes you feel better, to be quite honest. It makes you feel good about the Karate Kid movies and how they came together and what happened to those guys afterward. I'm just waiting for the girl to show up. She hasn't shown up yet. And I don't know why, but
The Karate Kid girl, when they did the Karate Kid movie with the girl, okay,
Allie.
You'd know that better than me. I'll be honest. I saw the first two, but I'm not as well versed in Karate Kid as you are.
Allie was in the first one, and she was the girl that they were fighting over for the most part. And then she disappeared in the second one. But everybody wants Allie to come back because everybody loves Elizabeth Shue. So
I thought didn't they do one with a girl? A Karate Kid with a girl?
They might have.
No, see, that's what I thought
you
were talking
about. Three. Nobody made it to number three, Jim. Nobody made it to number three.
And then Will Smith's kid
redid it with Will Smith's kid, and that was solid. That was a good solid remake. But yeah, if you were my age, Karate Kid was all the rage. You were doing the pelican kick or whatever it was on the post. Yeah, you're pulling out all sorts of karate moves out.
Now you'd pull a groin if you did that. So that's don't do that, okay?
I would be in the emergency room the next day. So,
all right, man. It's been fun. We'll do it again next week, okay?
Sounds like a plan.
Against our better judgment, we'll do it next week.
Yeah, I don't know what we were thinking. Are we going for a Karate Kid nostalgia thing here too?
I don't know. Maybe. It's kind of like that, right? Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Could be. I don't know. What's it been? 10 years? Something like that?
Something like that. Looking forward to another one. Take care, man.
All right. Bye-bye.